This week's conversation with Clara Washauer is sponsored by Sassy Jack's Stitchery. Two big things happening at Sassy Jack's. In addition to the expected opening of the Sassy Jack's store in early September, be sure to sign up for the September Soiree online retreat, September 15 to 17. Each year, the soiree has been a big hit, and this year promises to be the best yet. You can now also sign up for a series of October workshops with Jackie Duplessis. The October 3 and 4 workshop is called Hold Deer, a beautifully decorated tiger maple project box with two storage areas and a pincushion in the lid. That's followed by Love That Red, a drawn thread sewing roll-up sampler, on October 5 and 6. October 7 will be a bit of a mystery that will involve a fall flame stitch and a beautiful bespoke wooden box. Then on October 8, you can stitch the Morning Glory work basket. Sign up for all of these workshops is by email only. Also, Kim is thinking about starting a linen club. Share your thoughts on the Sassy Jack's Facebook page. Much more information about all Sassy Jack's activities is available through the Sassy Jack's website, sassyjackstitchery.com, the Jack's Journal newsletter, or the Sassy Jack's Facebook page. It's going to be a busy fall at Sassy Jack's Stitchery. Don't miss out. And now our conversation with Clara Washauer. Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week from Clara Stitching, Clara Washauer. Clara, welcome.
Hello, Gary. Hello, Beth. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, we got things to talk about here. Okay, yes. Now, you have this beautiful accent, and so now say your name the way it's really said, not the American way.
No, my name is Maria Clara Washauer. Everybody calls me Clara, but, well, sometimes you have to pronounce, I have to pronounce Clara, so they understand, right? But yeah, Clara is my name.
Yeah, so you say it beautifully. Yep, I enjoy that.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Argentina, U.S., U.K.
Yes, all over the world.
Try to stay in one spot for a minute, will you?
Well, I was born in Argentina. I was born in Buenos Aires, but I grew up in Salta. And then I have double citizenship. I have German passport as well because of my grandfather. So, yes, when I was 28 years old, I decided to use the passport for the first time, and I came to the UK. And my brother was already living here, so it was, you know, it was a good place to start. And, yes, that's why I came here when I was 28 years old in 2010. And then in 2018, we moved with my husband and my kids to New York because of his work. And so we were there for 4 years, from 2018 to 2022, until last year. And now we're back in London. So, yeah, I've been a bit around.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, New York, New York. That's its own beast. UK, yes. Which you prefer the UK or doesn't matter?
Oh, you know, it's like I don't know. London, New York, what can I say? They are two amazing cities, different, but I had amazing experiences in both places. In New York, at the beginning, it was, you know, like being in the movies. You know, you arrive there to the U.S. and it's like it feels sort of familiar because you've seen it so many times in movies that it feels like, you know, like it's something kind of familiar. It's a strange feeling. But yes, amazing. The thing is, we had the first year was like normal. But then we had the pandemic, you know, the pandemic years. So I was, I think until we returned, it was still going on. All that time was a bit different, right?
Yeah.
From the beginning, it was a bit different, but still amazing. I think it was probably the best place to be there in those times.
Right. I never gave that any thought. You see New York in movies and TV so much that Yeah, I guess when you go there, there is a familiarity that you wouldn't have with other cities. That's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, definitely. And with some places of the U.S. as well. Like, there were some places when we traveled a bit, and, you know, this feeling of, you know, like, it's familiar, but it's not, because I was not from there, and I didn't have any family there. But, yeah, it gave me this feeling of, yeah, like, I knew it, right? Yeah.
Right, it's like if you go to Utah or the valley where they do all the Western movies.
Exactly, yes.
It's this feeling like, I think I've been here, but you've only seen it in all those Westerns or all those movies, and then there you are.
Yeah, and some Stephen King scenes as well. Like, I remember some books I read of him, like, also, oh, this tunnel reminds me of, you know, of this book. And yes, definitely, yeah. It's part of our, I don't know, what is the word, upbringing, right? Since you're a child, you see all these movies, and it's a very strong connection, I think. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, so needlework, through all these travels and moving, the needlework is always part of that, or do you end up having to take breaks just as you adjust to new cultures and new places?
Well,
start where you started. Let's try that. How about that?
Okay. Let's go back in time and space. So I could, you know, it's difficult to think like when I started, because I could tell you stories of my childhood. But I think the moment that when I started needlework was when I was 18 years old. I said I grew up in Salta. I moved to Buenos Aires, which is quite far. It's, I think, 900 miles, like 2 hours by plane, right? It's very far away. And I moved to a nun's residence for students, for girls. And so next to me was a girl. She was a bit older, and she was doing some cross stitch. I was just, I liked it so much. And I asked her if she would teach me, and she did. So she taught me the basics, and because I've tried before, but I had failed, and she taught me well. And so after then I started, you know, cross stitch, not like I've been doing it now in the last few years with embroidery. It's like I do it 100% of my time. But back then I would do it, you know, when I was on holidays, every now and then, you know, I would get all the magazines, because my father had a magazines kiosk, newspaper magazines. So he would bring, you know, all these magazines from Europe, from Spain, cross stitch, beautiful magazines. And so I would ask him and get them. And so I say, one day, right? Like piling them up. One day I will have time. I guess when you're young, you know, I was not, you know, thinking of other things, studying, going out, you know, other things. So it was not central in my life. Right. But I was kind of consistent, you know, every couple of months, maybe I would continue doing something. So, yeah, I started with cross stitch. And then I think it was when I moved to the UK that I started to explore other techniques. And I did a few workshops, some day classes at the Royal School of Needlework. That also, you know, for me was like being in another planet. I don't know if you know anything about Salta, but it's just so different from Europe, right? So, and those times, or maybe, I don't know if I was ignorant, but I think it wasn't as easy as it is now, you know, to look on Google, and I'm talking 2010. So I remember like seeing a website, looking something for embroidery, finding this workshop, Hampton Court Palace, but not knowing anything like what it is. Like it's just the name of a street, you know, I don't know.
Oh my, you signed up for a workshop at the Royal School and really didn't know what it was? Wow.
I didn't know. I had no idea. And then I got there and this is a real palace.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. And, you know, with my accent and like feeling like a little mouse there. And and I did a couple of workshops then in other places as well. But it was something I would do every now and then, you know what I mean? Not something that I would do consistently. But when we moved to New York, that was 2018, I started to have a bit more time. because my kids were young, very little, but they were starting to sleep the whole night. You know, like how this.
Yes.
Because I had two boys. A key phase, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I was, before that, it was like 4 years of like not sleeping, you know, like not being able to sleep one night because they would wake up all the time and they're very close together in age. And so when I started to have a bit more time, I you know, went back to my cross stitch. And
that's a, I'm going to interrupt you there. That's a study we got to do, Beth, is what happens to mothers during that phase in their needlework. When they can't get a night's sleep and they're just in a fog, and then when they come out they can actually think again.
It's like you are it's literally, it's like being in a fog, it's you know, all the hormones, lots of things that when you in the moment you don't realize you are in, you know, it's like you're not yourself, you're tired, you're thinking of your kids, you know, the body, all these things. But yes, something cleared in a moment. They started to sleep. I think it was that.
it makes a huge difference when they sleep through the night. And they, like, I had three. And when they all slept through the night, it was just
it's a before and after.
Yes. And then you have that, you know, because you get uninterrupted sleep. And then they're still sleeping. You know, they go to bed before you do.
Yeah.
And then I used to get up earlier than everyone else. And that time where the house was quiet and you had time. Oh, my. Yeah.
That's the moment. Yeah. For me, it was in the evenings because we put them early to bed, like 7, 8. You know, my husband is British, so he has these schedules like earlier. Because for me, from Argentina, you go to sleep, you know, 10 p.m. It's different. But here, kids go earlier. So that was very good because, okay, yes. So from 7, they are sleeping. I have quite a few hours, you know, in the evening, at night, quiet. Yeah.
Now there's a culture difference. Yeah, one goes to bed early and the other is up all night. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, very different. Yeah, and eating late as well. Like we have dinner at 9, 10, it would be normal. And here you have dinner at 5, 6, very early. And so, yeah, when we go to Argentina, my husband is 5 p.m. I was like super hungry and there's nothing open. And yeah, it's a bit different.
Right. And I know in parts of Europe are that way, too. My son was in Spain and he's like, yeah, no one's eating yet. It's only 7 or 8 o'clock. It's too early to eat.
8 is early, actually. 8 is early. Yeah, it's like similar. I imagine like Spain, Italy, like that type of. More similar to them, I think we are. Yeah,
right. Totally different culture. Yeah. But it's fun because then you learn things. You learn things about
how
people and do things.
I think it's amazing they go to bed at 10. I got really used to the you know, the routine here. I love it. Like we have dinner at 5. I have dinner at 5 as well. I really got used to it. Yeah.
That's like half a day for you if you're used to staying up late. That's
Of course, everybody, you have 7 to 12. It's party, you know. You can do whatever. Yeah, it's a lot of time.
So you take this class at Hampton Court Palace.
Yeah.
What that must have been real eye opening.
Yeah, it was very. I was not prepared. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't even have, you know, I remember I didn't even have the clamp for the hoop. So, no, you need one. Like, you have to buy this. Oh, okay. And, it was very interesting. Very interesting. And I got this stand for the first time, you know, because before I used to have it on my hand. So, you know, these little things you start to learn. Here it's needlework. I think, I don't know, it's amazing. And it'll work here in England. Like, I'm so lucky to be here. It's amazing.
Yeah. So is the palace fairly close that you can take classes regularly, or do you have to be a special effort?
Well, you have to take the day. I'm about to finish the certificate, so I'm doing. I'm going there now. I take a class every now and then. So you have to take the whole day, right? Because it's not in the middle of the city. For the certificate, it's like 10 to 4, so you have to be the whole day. For a day class, I think, as well, they are like, you have to take the day. But you can take the train or a bus being here. It's not difficult to get there.
Well, that's good. I've been, Beth, you've been to London. I've been there a couple times, and the traffic, yeah, you can keep that. So,
yeah. You've been here, Gary. You've been to the Royal School. You've been doing some embroidery?
No, just to London for business. No, I've never been to Royal School. No.
Okay. But I did. And, I went for
you did, Beth?
Yes, for one at one day class, and it was just fantastic. It was a wonderful.
What did you take?
I took a crewel embroidery class.
Yes,
because I was with my family, and there was a 2 day class I wanted to take, but I couldn't justify leaving my family for 2 days while they toured London, and I was like, well, I'm going to Hampton Court to take a
bye. You'll see you later.
Right. So, but one day was, and it was, I learned so much. I did learn things, and it was a fantastic day and a fantastic place to take an embroidery class of any sort.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, it is.
You gotta go, Gary. Gotta go.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I follow on Instagram this lady calls herself History Alice.
Uh-huh.
She's amazing. She's always showing different things in the UK. And given the history behind them, and she has one segment that's the palace, and she talks about the ghost in the palace and shows some. She doesn't show any of the Royal School stuff. It's all history stuff. But one day I got to get there. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. It's a must. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So what takes you? What was the turning point from just occasional cross stitch to getting serious about needlework?
I don't know. It just, it started, I started to have some time. So when I was in New York, I took a workshop, this like a floral, woven, something like that with, a teacher, Robin Schweitzer. She's in Instagram as well, The Hoop. And, I took this workshop and it really clicked on me, like I enjoyed it so much. And she also inspired me a lot. We connected on Instagram. I would see her, sitting doing these photos, this embroidery. I was just like, oh, I want to do this, It was just, and so I started to do it. I started to, investigate and started to study. And I think I am a bit, I have to say that probably I am a little bit obsessive. So I went full with the subject. Like I bought all the books, all the magazines. I took all the classes. I was just, all the time that I was not dedicating to my family or the house, I was dedicating to embroidery. And it's the only thing I think about, like when I don't have anything to do, I say, okay, I'm going to think, and I'm thinking about this and I'm just, looking at in internet, and it's just I love it. It's just so much fun.
So that's okay. It just evolved. See, so many people, it just evolved. Yeah. So it just came to be, and then you went crazy. Okay.
Yeah, I started with trying techniques, and then there was this moment. I think we all probably I don't know. Well, I don't think everybody, but there was this moment where I was like curious to try if I could do something. But I had this this idea that I couldn't draw. That I it's impossible. Like I can do cross stitch because it's a pattern and I follow the guide, so I can do it and it looks beautiful and it's controlled, right? But if I had to do it on my own, I won't be able to do it. It's super difficult. I don't know how to draw. And so I think it was when all this the pandemic started. So I'm going to study drawing. And I bought some books, botanical drawing. I bought this beautiful book from Wendy Hollander, The Joy of Botanical Drawing. And I started to do it, page one, page two, page three, seriously doing it. And I started to draw, properly. I was so amazed, really so amazed that if you follow a technique, there are rules. And then I took some workshops as well from her and from other artists in the light pipe, to draw birds and eggs and these kind of things. And these Islamic flowers are learned from Marouk Bashir, and now we're doing a class together, you know, how things, you know, develop. And you can actually learn how to draw. For me, it was amazing. I remember when I made a leaf of a hydrangea, a flower,
yeah,
and I drew it, and it was, I couldn't believe, like, I could draw, you know? That was a big step for me when I was starting to try, but always thinking about embroidery, right? Like always thinking about getting these other skills because I wanted to apply for embroidery. Okay. Like always, yeah.
So the drawing filled in the gap for you that allowed you to do the embroidery. Definitely. You wanted to do. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, it did help me a lot to gain confidence. You know, that, yeah, okay, I can. That was a turning point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the problems at least for me, is the fear, you know, if I draw, you know, I can draw an outline of something,
yeah,
but how do I shade it? How do I make it look so it looks real? And I think drawing would probably help you reinforce that, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, no. And it's like if I could do it, if I was able to draw, because I tell you, like, I couldn't draw. I thought it was like I was incapable of drawing, literally, like I was embarrassed. It's learnable. It's really learn. It's not something that you have to be born with, you know. It's like there are techniques. And, you know, if you put, and I did it quite fast, you know, like I got the book and I just started. And I think from the first project that I did, it was like, okay, I'm doing it, you know, it's like, this looks really like a tulip. It was because I remember the first one was a tulip and it was a tulip. That was, it's very interesting and it's really fun, actually. I really enjoyed. There was a moment that I was getting quite hooked with the botanical drawing, and I had a moment of saying, maybe I'm better at this than embroidery. maybe this is not the right path. But no, I enjoy embroidery too much, I guess.
Now your art is really a combination in various various levels of gold work and stump work and surface embroidery. Is that after cross stitch, is that, and once you get to the UK and see some of the work there, that's where your focus was as you're learning to draw, is I want to create these things with gold work and stump work. You want three dimensional things. Is that what you were after?
I'm very drawn to the color metals. I really like them. I think it's so much fun to have all these, you know, metal threads, cut them, and the pearls. It's so much fun, and I like how it looks like as well. I really like, you know, Hazel Everett's book that I always mention because it's my favorite, the gold work Hazel Everett's book. I don't know if you know the book that I'm talking about. Hazel Everett.
Hazel Everett?
Yeah.
Oh, just a minute. Got to write that down. So Hazel Everett.
Well, she has a gold work book that it's the cover of the book. It's all color, you know, flowers with color gold work. And I love that. That's like the style that I like the most. That's, I think that book inspired me so much. And that's, you know, I get these books and I actually read them, you know, like I grab the book and I read them. And and that one is the one that I always go back to when I need some inspiration, and the style, everything about that book is, it's definitely my favorite. And yes, I've always, I like, for example, someone that I like a lot and that inspired me so much was, I'm sure you know that embroidery girl, Georgina Bellamy on Instagram, that embroidery girl.
Writing it down.
She makes work.
Georgina, wait a minute. We got to get this stuff down.
You don't know her. You should know her. You should, like, she's, I think she's not posting lately. I haven't seen her for a while, but she makes this super like 3D gold work pieces. So, and I loved it. I when I saw her work, I thought like, I think this is so beautiful. I want to do something like this, you know. And it's this type of embroidery that, I don't know how to say it, but I don't know if you will understand what I say, but you know, it's not perfect, but it's perfect that it's not, you know, it's like so beautiful. I like that style, you know, very much. Yeah.
Well, I know that when I first saw your work, and you know, we've talked to several gold work people and I've stared at a lot of gold work, but it's the way you use those color metal threads and pieces that really makes yours stand out. There's an extra dimension just because of the, how you use the colors. It's, they're beautiful. It's beautiful work. And it's using that color that I think sets it apart.
I love the color pearls. I really like working with them, mixing them, you know, try to blend them because obviously it's not paint, so you cannot blend them. Same with the threads, with cotton threads, it's the same. But yeah, I really enjoy playing with them and trying to mix them and create these different textures. It's really fun.
Now, was the gold work part, did you take classes for that, or did you just teach yourself and read some books and figure it out?
I did a lot on my own, and then I did take a couple of classes. But mostly, I took... now I've done the certificate, right? So because after learning a lot on my own, I thought, okay, I want to see if what I'm doing is the right thing, right? Like I have to see that I need to know right. The official techniques, because you can do whatever you want and change, you know, the rules if you want to, but you have to know, right? Like, okay, I'm doing this differently, knowing that I'm doing it differently, not because, you know, just because I'm an ignorant. I did it reading lots of books, and then I did certificate, but I did this year, and I did a class. I think I did some self-paced something. I did a self-paced course, okay. And then I did follow the book. You know, I do this thing about getting a book and following it. You know,
yep.
Page one. Instructions. Okay, this project. This is the first project. I did the same with silk shading with Trish Spoor. I got the needle pages in the book for beginners. I went page one, first project, second project, third project, like following it.
Yep.
And it's so much fun.
I really appreciate that because that's how I've always learned. Get a book, read it, figure it out. Yep.
Yeah. And it's all there. I mean, these people has made like such an amazing work. There are so many books. So it's all there.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yep.
Yeah.
So you start doing, you do a lot of nature things, but small gold work, is there a reason you keep, just about everything you have is fairly small. Is there a reason you keep it small?
I don't know if there's a reason, but I think I find it very rewarding to finish the piece, you know, like when I've done bigger pieces, but I get a bit tired sometimes, you know, it's like it starts to, you know, I get a bit bored or I start to struggle finishing it when they are very long. But it's so rewarding to start something and finish it, right? It's like very rewarding. So maybe that's the reason. Why I'm doing it smaller, maybe. Yeah, I think probably that's the reason. Like I like to start and finish it and not leaving it and then going back, you know, you lose the connection with the project and then it's hard to go back to it. I was doing some beading and I got really hooked, but then I left it because I'm doing other things and now it's so hard to go back to it. Right? It's like, probably it's because of that.
Yeah, Beth, that's why I finish so many things, it's the, you know, the reward of finishing, yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah, that's right. See, and I
Clara,
like
Clara. I never finish anything.
Ah,
so.
You never finish. No. Well, you have to make smaller projects then.
Right. See, but see, he and I both like large projects. I mean, and I'm looking around and I'm like, do I? I think I've got one small project that I'm really currently working on. Everything else is big, and there's. But I know what you mean. There's one that I don't dare stop working on because I know if I stop, I won't pick it up again. You know, for whatever reason, I know that. So it's like, okay, keep just powering through one thread a day, whatever you need to do to move it forward.
It's very tempting to make a big project. And I've done these things already, like with big cross-stitch projects. I'm going to start. And then, you know, it's... on the pile.
On the pile.
So I try to make them smaller so I can finish it. It's rewarding. And still, you know, with Goldberg, even if it's small, it's a small piece, there is a lot of work on it still. So it's still very entertaining.
Yeah, those things are deceptive, aren't they?
Even just a
little 2 or 3 inch thing can be an awful lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. It takes time. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you said it really well when you were talking about the Royal School and getting the certificate, because I think that's in all the people we've talked to from the Royal School. That's the one thing that sticks with me is if you take their classes, get their certificate, do anything with them, it gives you that foundation. It's their way of doing things, and I doubt that they say it's right or wrong, but it's their way of doing things. So it gives you a foundation for all your stitching. When you said, then I know whether I'm doing it different or not.
Of course, it's a traditional technique. You know, they teach you the traditional technique. This is how the traditional techniques are done. So, you know, you learn how the pre-compounds, how to, you know, paint the pattern with watercolor. Of course, I mean, I don't think I would do that on my own because no, I'm going to use a friction pen, you know, that erases with the heat, and I'm going to, you know, some things I'm not going to do. But I think it's very interesting to know them, to understand the techniques, how they are, what's the, I don't know, in between, you know, between, how do you say, brackets, the proper. That it gives you, and then you have the freedom. So, you know, I like this, but maybe I will do it differently. I think it's important. I wanted to do it. I wanted to, you know, make sure
Right. How close are you to finishing? Are you done or?
I have to do canvas work. It's the last one. I already started it. And now I booked it. I booked all the classes now, like almost all, so I can finish it maybe this year. But I was mostly, I liked crewel work, Jacobean, very much, and silk shading and gold work, of course. That was very, very, very fun. And canvas work, being honest, it's not a technique that I'm very interested in. Maybe I will be surprised. Everybody tells me that. But I want to finish it, so I'm going to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think if you're used to doing, Gary commented on this, I think recently, he's doing a crewel piece, and he realizes he doesn't have to find a hole. He can just stab the fabric. And with canvas work, you've got to, it's pretty much a grid that you're working on. And I think that's difficult.
It's like an evolution of cross stitch, right? It's like with other stitches. I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
Yeah. No, I haven't.
And it's like surface embroidery.
Surface embroidery.
This crewel piece I'm working on, I hadn't done anything surface embroidery type for a long time. And still I'm adjusting to the fact that I can put the needle wherever I think it should go instead of it must go in this hole to make the stitch right. And it's still an adjustment, but kind of freeing in a way. Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it is indeed. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was in that moment too.
Okay, I want to talk about your frogs, because your little frogs remind me of poison dart frogs. I don't know if you know what those are.
Poison dart, the little frogs. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
and they remind me of that. And so I wanted to ask you, is that what they're modeled after, or did you just create little frogs?
No, you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about an above view. That's what I was thinking about I thought of that frog, because I thought I could do it from an above view to stitch it, because I'm trying to explore to do it completely 3D, but I didn't get there yet. I will eventually. I hope so. But at the moment, I'm at that point where from the view from above, I can make, you know, the eyes, and I can. So I was looking for animals that would look good from above.
Oh,
you know. That's what I was thinking, and the koi fish as well. Like, I can, okay, you know, this view so from above. Right.
That's why it is, because yeah, Beth and I have drooled over the koi fish. Because they're terrific. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, that was very successful. I was a bit surprised. So sometimes, you know, it's hard for me to know what people is going to like. And the koi fish, I said it was like, it went viral for my level. You know, it's like, it's not like millions, but for my level, it was quite popular. And yeah, so I said, I will do the workshop. And I did the workshop. And yeah, it sold out in 3 days. So yeah, I might have to do it again.
Oh yeah, because that's they're beautiful, and I think it's because, you know, koi themselves are so colorful, and then you capture that, and, you know, and because when you're looking in a pond, that's what you see, the tops of them swimming around.
The view from above, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then, you know, I like this idea of making one and then trying to make different versions of the same fish or frog with different colors. Mm-hmm. And that's so entertaining. That was very, very entertaining to do. So I'm, you know, we're going to do the workshop, and, you know, the main project is the one with the sequins, the orange one, but I'm going to guide them, because I know others, they want to do other colors, you know? So I'm going to, because once you have the base, it's easy to, you know, start exploring on your own. How would you do it? How would you do, what color would you use? You know, right. It's so much fun. Yeah.
So you're going to offer the koi as a workshop coming up?
Yeah, it's already sold out. I announced it like I don't know when, maybe a month ago or something, or maybe less than a month. And yes, I'm going to be teaching the koi fish and the frog again. I didn't announce. When is this podcast? This show?
Couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So I will announce it maybe before then on social media, but I'm going to be teaching the frog again, because, you know, they asked me, so I said, okay, if they ask me, I'm going to do it, because it's because they are interested. So yeah.
I'm tempted on the frog. Oh,
well, yes. You are invited, Gary. If you want, I would be honored.
Well, and this, because his eyes are so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very fun project. It's a lot easier than it looks like. And you can finish it quite fast if you, you know, you work on it.
Oh, then I can't do it. No, I'm not. I'm out.
No. You have to make a big frog.
It has to last a lifetime.
Well, you can enlarge it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's very nice, because in your work, and you can, in a couple of days you can finish it, and you know, you have this little frog. I love making the frogs. It's a very fun project. Yeah.
Okay, well, I follow you on Instagram, so that's where you'll announce it, huh?
It's already announced. It's already on my website,
because
the frog is on my website. I always send the email to my contact list, my subscribers, to my website. I always tell them first, and then I announce on social media. So that one is already. I still have kids. But yeah, it's already available, let's say.
Oh, Beth, I may have to break the. Not one more thing. I may have.
Yes.
To.
Yes.
You've never have you done Goldberg before, Gary or Beth?
Not. I haven't done anything formal. I've just played with it just to see what it's like. No, I've never sat down and tried to do a project. So,
And I've done a couple. I've done a couple. I did a class through EGA, and then I've added gold work to a needlepoint piece. So I know the basics, at least a little bit of them. And I have friends that are experts that I call upon when I get stuck.
Oh, I feel like gold work is a lot easier than it looks like. I think it looks more intimidating than what it really is, right? I don't know. I feel that.
It does. I think it's manipulating those little chips that I was doing some chip work on a piece, and to get them cut correctly and placed correctly was a little, but I think now that I look back at it, at the time I had elementary age students that I was homeschooling. So maybe that has something to do with it.
You think? Try again.
You were weak.
I was weak. I wasn't getting enough sleep.
It was not the right moment.
That's right.
I think it's easier. I think it's easier. Well, it depends what you want to do, right? If you want to be very precise and you can make it difficult, of course. But the frog is not. The frog is very, and it's, I don't know, it's very fun to make, and it's not that difficult. And, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect to be perfect, if you know what I mean. You don't have to, you know, and it still looks good.
Now, you like to make a lot of your pieces into jewelry. Is that so you can wear it and show it off, or you just think it's a fun way to finish?
I think it's just, I don't know. I've done brooches, mm-hmm. because I don't know. I feel I like to take the pieces out of the fabric, I think. I don't know. I never thought of this thing. So I'm just, you know, trying to see why. But I do like to take them out of the fabric and, you know, make an ornament. And so, you know, like a hanging ornament or a scissors fob or something, and a brooch. Seemed like I've done some denarios as well. I now that you say jewelry, you know, when I was a kid, I was that was my hobby. I would do beading.
Oh,
so maybe it's related. It's related to that. Could be. I don't know.
See, this is it's like going to a psychiatrist talking to us.
Going back in the history. I'm going back to my grandmother's house, summer, locked in there, and doing some necklaces and bracelets. It was so much fun. My mom would take me to the shop and to buy beads, but proper beads, adult beads, not kids' beads, the real one, the real thing. And choosing all the beads, you know, and the colors. I was just because we would spend the summer at my grandmother's. And we were like 3 months, very hot summer in Buenos Aires. And we were not a family. We were not going for dinner, going out, nothing. No, it was just being in the house, you know, like locked there. Going to the supermarket, but she had a big house, so there were books, and so she got this idea of getting me beads so I could be entertained, and it worked. Yeah, it really worked. There was nothing else to do, so so maybe it comes from there. It could be,
Oh, but I could see. Okay, see, taking that little frog and making it into a scissors fob.
Yeah, it could.
Is it too big for that? Is it too big?
No. I have it. The one that I made for me, it's on a scissors bob. It's always on my gold work scissors. It's very, very tiny. Maybe I have here a ruler. I don't know.
Now you've got me a question. You have gold work scissors. Now, when I didn't invest in scissors specifically for when I did the gold work, what scissors do you use for gold work? Are they different than normal scissors?
Well, I bought loads of the scissors, and the ones that I like the most are the Kai, you know, Kai scissors. They are Japanese, Kai Janome, I don't know how to pronounce, and they have the curved tip.
Yes.
I like those. Those are the ones that I use for metals. They are better than the actual gold work ones, in my opinion. I think they cut neater. They do cut a lot neater than the other ones, because the other ones, they have like a serrated.
Right.
One of the ends is serrated. And I don't know, I find these ones more comfortable.
Oh, wait but a minute now. I thought you were supposed to use serrated gold work scissors. So
maybe. Yeah, maybe, but you know, well, I try them.
But for you, those hold up then, and they hold up, they keep their sharpness?
Yeah, they do. I always use the same pair for my metals. Oh. I never changed it yet. So it's been a few years now, and it's still sharp. And they are very, very good because they cut the metals sharp. I feel like the other ones, not, they don't cut it as sharp. And I did buy quite a few. I'm not, I did buy quite some models, but I go back to this one always. Yeah.
And that's interesting, because I have several pairs of Kai scissors, and I have those curved ones. I have them right here next to me, and I love them because they're lightweight. They're not very heavy, and I like that, the feel of them. And to be honest, they were very inexpensive. And they work beautifully. I mean, the curved edge, I use it all the time to get really close to my needlework, just to cut floss.
They are very, and you can, you know, because of the curve, you can go close to the fabric, you know, without touching your fingers, the other side. It's just, they are so nice. And I also like, you know, the ones that are the bent ones. There are ones, some of them that are bent, same Kai Janome, mm-hmm. because I think there are like, I've seen something, I'm talking Kai Janome, but I think there are others that are not Janome that also make Kai, I think. I've seen something. And the bent ones that cut the fabric, so, you know, for white work, when you want to make these, like, you know, little cuts in the fabric, or for me, when I'm cutting the little pieces around, those are very good because you don't want big pair of scissors, you know, when you're cutting these little things. And those ones are really good as well.
Oh, interesting.
You know the ones that I'm saying, the bent ones that are completely bent?
Right. They've got a bend in the, not in the blade, they've got a bend in the scissor part, that where the handles are.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really good. Yeah, as well. Yeah.
I need to buy more scissors.
Yeah,
I think you do, Gary.
It's very important. Very important. The basic need.
This growing forest that I have right now is not enough. This is
no, it's not.
You need some specifically for the task at hand, the gold work class that you're going to take with the frog.
Yeah. One for the cotton spins, one for the metals, one for the fabric. I even heard someone told me once, one for the felt. I thought that was too much. But yes, you can have one for each. Yeah, for each.
Well, now this, I've learned something here, because I thought that proper gold work people had serrated scissors because they held the metal while they cut. But
maybe
you're having a much different experience here. So, all right.
And I think I learned this from, I didn't invent this. This Jenny Adin recommends these scissors in her kits.
Jenny Adin Christie, really?
Yeah. Oh,
then there you go, right there.
Yeah, I didn't invent this. Like, I learned it from her.
If Jenny says, it must be.
So, definitely. Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh man.
There you go.
These shows cost money.
Yeah. Every time.
Yep.
Every time. And I want to ask you about your are you going to be teaching the Sacred Heart brooch at any time? Or the Immaculate Heart?
Do you like it? Do you like it, Beth?
I do.
For you?
And
yes.
Actually for my mother. My mother would love that. And that's why, and it's hard, you know, she's getting older and finding things that would, you know, speak to her.
Yeah.
If I made that for her, it would speak to her.
Well, I will take this as a sign and I will do it again, because I did teach it, the Sacred Heart. And, but after I taught it, it evolved, you know. After I did the workshop, I continued working on the hearts. And now I have new techniques for it. And it's my favorite project. It's been very rewarding to make them. So now that you say this, you know, you maybe I will decide to make another right. workshop of them, because it was, and it's this kind of project, you know, that you think that nobody's going to like, but you know, say, okay, I'm going to do it anyway, and then you okay, yes, some people was interested in this, and yes. so it was very rewarding. It was this was one of the most rewarding workshops I made. Yeah.
It's and the it looks like the heart portion itself is, what is that fabric? It's
a fake metallic leather.
Right, right.
I think you call it faux, F-A-U-X, faux leather. Something.
Faux,
it's
faux
like
leather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, metallic. Faux leather. It's a fake. It's not kid leather. It's,
oh, it's not kid leather. Oh, I thought that was kid leather.
No. It's fake. It's faux. Faux
leather.
Faux
leather.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's Immaculate Heart or Sacred Heart, and then the Saint Joseph. So it's the three hearts. So okay. Yeah, I might dare to do it again.
All right. Well, I'll just have to get on your mailing list. That way I know when you're, when
yes,
you're offering
yes.
it. And that way you'll send me an email and then I'll say, oh, yes, that's right. I need to sign up for that.
Yeah, I don't send emails that often. I only send an email when, you know, I have something to say. And also, you know, it's this way of staying in contact with people, you know, when you like the work of somebody or you want to stay in contact, because you don't know what's going to happen. Like sometimes I think, what happens if Instagram, you know, I don't know, shuts down, or, you know, you lose contact with all these people, and I built so many relationships in Instagram. You know, I made friends talking all about embroidery. You know, it's just embroidery. My Instagram, my algorithm, my world.
Right.
And yeah, that's a way of, you know. So the people that's in my mailing list is with me. You know, I can, you know, stay in contact regardless. Right.
Right, right. Because and sometimes it's hard, you know. You think you're following, you've seen everybody's posts on Instagram, and then something slips through, and you're like, "Wait, I didn't see that." You know,
yeah.
I didn't. And that is the problem. And so if it's something important, it's nice to get those
yeah.
emails.
Yeah,
pop
sometimes
into your
I
box.
Send an email, and you know, my students, they reply to me. They know, like, it's not like I'm not a company. You know, it's just me. I do everything
right.
on my. It's just me. You know, I make everything. I even make my own website. I ship the things. I make the kits. I buy them. It's just me, only me.
Oh,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
I can imagine. So
yeah.
you're the one. So you kit up all the goodies then, all the
yeah.
Beautiful supplies we were drooling over.
Yeah, yeah.
We were checking you out.
Yeah, I do everything on my own. Yeah.
Yeah, those little packages of threads and beads and things that you have together by colors, holy smokes, those look like fun.
Yes, they are so much fun because, you know, I started with these workshops that I teach via Zoom. I started in New York, you know, God bless America. And I started there. And so my students, most of my students are recurrent students, which is so rewarding. You know, it's like, okay. They like what I'm doing. This is working. And so they've always, after taking a class, you know, they would ask me, how can I get these methods? Like, I want to get these threads. How can I get? So, okay, well, I can prepare you one, you know, very casual. Okay, I make you one. What do you want? Photos on WhatsApp. And so after a bit, after a while, I said, okay, no, I'm going to make some boxes. So whoever wants can get it, you know, like just, you know, I have them done because I would spend so much time with a custom order, you know, oh, I like this color, sending photos, and I don't have a catalog, you know, it's not. So I said, okay, I'm going to make these boxes or these bundles organized, and whoever wants to get some threads, because it's so complicated to buy gold work threads, especially when you're starting. And that happened to me as well. You know, it's like you look at the project and you say, oh, no, but I don't have this exact. And you look in a website and you have to buy from abroad. You know, this, it's not that easy. So you find these obstacles that are not that easy to, you have to be very, you know, you have to be very decisive that you want to do it. Otherwise, maybe you give up, right? Right. So I made these little bundles and boxes, thinking of on them, thinking on my students that they wanted materials, so they know they get, you know, the pinks, the blues, the greens, and they are always different. They, you know, it's not like I said, like I'm not a company, so I make them on my own. I make, you know, a few, and then when they're gone, they're gone.
Okay.
And they ask me, sometimes they ask me, you know, because I know them, so they, I know they're doing the flowers. They're, okay, oh, but I'm looking for this. Can you add? Yeah, I'll add. You know, I know what they, it's very, like, informal, you know.
Right, right. Well, that's good. Then you know your customers, and the customers know they can
get what they need. Yeah, it's a very personal relationship with all of them.
Yeah, that's great.
So talk about this collaboration with Maruk Bashir, is that right?
Yes, Maruk Bashir with the Prince Foundation. So she was my teacher. I took a class of her with this to learn how to design Islamic flowers. It's beautiful. She's like an amazing artist. And so I obviously, like I said before, I was thinking of embroidery when I took this class. And, you know, we started to connect. I was still in New York when I did it, but we connected via Instagram. So I said, okay, when you go back to London, maybe we can talk about doing something. And we did. And so we worked a bit and came out with this idea. And I'm really looking forward to it because it's a very interesting, I think, even if I say it myself, right? But it's, I think it's very interesting, this idea of designing and doing the embroidery, because it's always doing the embroidery, you know, you have the pattern and you have the project and you learn the technique. But sometimes I think, because I project maybe, you know, we want to try design our own. So the idea of this class is you learn how to design, that you can learn, and she can teach you very well how to design these flowers. Obviously, she's going to think about, they are not going to be painted, they are going to be for embroidery. And then you can embroider your own flower, your own composition. I'm really looking forward to see what the students are going to make.
Oh, that's a fabulous idea. Because I think some of us, at least for me, maybe I'm projecting, I'm afraid to take that first step of how do I start? How do I design? How do I know it's going to look all right? You know?
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary, right?
Right.
Yeah. And well, with this, because I studied from her, and she, you know, she teaches you a technique, and you end up drawing your own flowers and beautiful ones. Like, it's a technique, you know, it's a, there are rules, and you make a circle, and then you think of the petal, how many petals you want to do, you divide the circle, and you know, there's a technique to do them, and they look beautiful. You follow the rules and you're gonna have your own flowers, and then we can embroider them. And it's going to be very fun. And so we tried different techniques, and now I was showing that on Instagram, like the samples that I was making for the project. And I think silk shading and a bit of gold. I couldn't avoid a bit of gold. I had to put a bit of gold. I think it's more versatile, because every student is going to have their own design. So, you know, so I think that with the silk shading, it's going to be, it's more versatile, you know, to fill them in. And then you can do a little outline with gold and have a little introduction to gold work. And make them shine.
So, and how many days is this class? Is it a single day class then?
It's a 5-day course.
Okay.
And it's a full day, 10 to 4:30, Monday to Friday. And the first 3 days, she's going to teach the techniques, the drawing. She's going to prepare the students to design their own flowers and compositions. And then on the Thursday and the Friday, I'm going to teach them how to embroider them, and I'm going to prepare the kits. We want them to have everything, So yeah, I'm going to get some different colors so they can choose their color palette as well. And yeah, it's going to be fun.
And this is at the Prince's Foundation School of Traditional Arts. Is that where Maruk teaches?
Yes. It's a school of traditional arts. And I think, I don't know, but I haven't seen embroidery before, I have to say, because I follow them and I've taken courses because I really love what they are doing there. And the courses, they are amazing. Very, very interesting, this idea of, you know, maintaining the traditional techniques. So I think I haven't seen embroidery before.
Okay. All right, you're breaking new ground at the Prince's School.
I am.
All right.
I think so, maybe.
All right, well, we need to wrap up. So we can't get in the koi class, but we can get in the frog class.
Oh, that would be amazing. I would be honored.
Well, be careful now. Okay,
it would be so much fun.
There's still slots for the floral piece with Maruk and you?
I think so, because I'm not controlling that, because it's on their website.
Oh,
so
okay.
I don't know how many left are there. I think there are still some. It's in November. There's time. But I have no idea about the numbers, so it's not under my control.
Okay, well, I'll hunt down the link.
But I have to say, but, you know, we sold out the one at the London Embroidery School. That's also a class that we are going to put another date, and we are going to announce it tomorrow, because the first one, we sold it out, like, in 3 days as well. So so we are going to announce a second date for that one as well.
All right, so clearly, as Beth said, we just need to get on your email list and then...
Yes. And so we don't lose contact as well.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right after we're done here. Signing up. All right, Clara, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun, and what just beautiful artwork. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Gary. Thank you so much, Beth, for calling me. It's an honor to be in your show. Really, it is.
Thank you so much.
Thanks to everyone for listening.